Hospital in Halifax loses heat and water due to water main break. The widow of an injured seasonal migrant worker wants better working conditions in Ontario farms. The CMHC forecasts even higher housing costs in 2026. The military junta's remote capital in Myanmar has been attacked by drones, and Peru's president avoids impeachment over her expensive jewelry. Good morning. It's Friday, April 5th. That's right. It is Friday. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. Today, we start in Halifax, where the QE2 infirmary site had no water or heat and therefore couldn't operate. Global News' Mitchell Bailey reports that the outage was caused by a water main break, the second one on the same pipe at the hospital in 24 hours. The break impacted both the Veterans Memorial and Abbey J. Lane buildings. Bailey talked to one patient who said that he was told to leave as there was no working washroom, despite the fact that he couldn't walk and he had just had surgery. Urgent surgeries were moved to the Victoria General and Dartmouth General Hospital, and surgeries at those hospitals had to be delayed. The main break didn't close down the emergency room, though, and hospital officials told people to just avoid if they could, but if they couldn't, to come. Next to Ontario, where the widow of a man who died after being injured on the job is decrying the working conditions that her husband and his colleagues were subjected to. Jaleel Stewart's hand was crushed by a forklift in 2008. The accident happened at Maury Nurseries, which closed down in 2015. Now, Stewart wasn't Canadian. He was Jamaican and was working in Canada through the Seasonal Agricultural Worker Program. After his injury, his health declined, and just before he died in January, his body started to shut down. Jaleel had 5 children. Susanna Stewart told CBC's Desmond Brown that the workers aren't being treated well and that needs to change. Now, Jaleel had to fight with WSIB to keep his benefits. They were halted in 2010 because the board decided that Jaleel was fit to return to work. He had been fighting this decision ever since, and in 2023, a tribunal ordered a review of his case. At issue was the decision for the WSIB to consider him able to work in either Ontario or anywhere else in the world. David Aruda, the legal caseworker on his file, said that they want the decision to be made considering Ontario's labor market rather than any labor market in the world. And they're hoping that the case can still go ahead posthumously so that Stewart's family can get the money that he's owed. Next to bad news, unless you're a landlord, the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation is predicting that housing prices will, quote, reach new highs by 2026, unquote. That optimistic writing is care of an unbyline article from the Canadian Press. The CMHC is assuming this because housing supply in Canada will not keep up with demand. Simple, basic, classical economics for you there. The article is full of CMHC's official line with things like this, quote, housing prices will rebound, unquote. Rebound, as if they've dropped significantly. They are lower than they were at their peak in 2022. They are about 15% lower. But to hear housing prices as if they need to rebound is kind of dystopian, is it not? Are we not already paying some of the highest costs of housing in the world? Anyway, the rest of this article is just what the CMHC thinks will happen with new home buys and doesn't cite anyone else. In fact, it might as well be a press release. Actually, there is no news in the piece at all, despite the massive pressure that it will place on the people who are already struggling with the affordability crisis. Luckily, these forecasts assume nothing will really change from now until then, even though we can all see that we'll probably be in the middle of World War III. So, 2026. Okay. Next to international news and first to Myanmar. The country's national unity government undertook an unprecedented military attack using drones against the city of Naypyidaw, reports Al Jazeera. Naypyidaw is located in a remote part of Myanmar, and it's home to a secret capital that was built by a previous military regime. It's there that the junta government holds its position. The National Unity Government includes politicians who've removed from office in February 2021 following the coup. The NUG spokesperson Kia Za said that the attacks were a success, but that they didn't say where they had hit. The official media organ of the junta said that no one died and nothing was destroyed by the attack. The NUG says that they are aware of casualties. Fighting between the junta, which is comprised of the country's military, and anti-coup groups has displaced more than 2.8 million people. The UN says that 18 million people are in dire need of humanitarian assistance. Yesterday, the UN Human Rights Council adopted a motion that calls for UN member states to stop exporting, selling, or transferring jet fuel to Myanmar. And finally to Peru, where Dina Boluarte has survived an impeachment attempt. It was the third attempt to impeach her. This latest attempt was related to a Rolex watch that is worth, analysts say, $500,000. Her house was raided and her cabinet resigned in response. In addition to her Rolexes, she also has other jewelry and unexplained deposits in her accounts. Before she was president, she earned $1,000 per month, making it curious that she's got money now for all of these expensive items. The impeachment motion didn't clear the first hurdle of being added to the agenda for debate. The narrowest of margins that it failed at was 49 to 33 with 12 abstentions. And the second time that it was voted on, the margin was even larger. Peru has had six presidents since 2018, and it's not too difficult to impeach someone. The Constitution allows people to be impeached based on quote-unquote moral incapacity, which doesn't actually need any legal backing or wrongdoing. All it takes is 87 votes in favor, reports Al Jazeera. Pedro Castillo, the president before Boluarte, was impeached after he tried to dissolve Congress by decree in December 2022. That impeachment attempt was the fourth one that he had faced. Since Boluarte became president, there have been massive protests that were met with violence. When Castillo was arrested, 49 people were killed by government forces. Boluarte is in the middle of a constitutional complaint about how the government responded to the protests that were held in support of Castillo. Those are your headlines for Friday, April 5th. I'm Nora. You're listening to this podcast at sandyandnora.com, on the Real News Network podcast feed, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Hope you have a great weekend. The weekend already. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope you get a little bit of rest and time off. Actually, I hope you get a lot of rest and time off. And I'll talk to you on the other side.